Yeah, Woman of Peace. Yeah. Yep, sometimes the people of peace become pioneers. Sometimes you can be both in different situations. A lot of the people of peace in scripture, as we'll see, became pioneers. But she was pioneering in the sense that she went and told the people. So yeah, that kind of public telling. But actually, they were her village. So she is the insider in that village, whereas Jesus was the outsider to that people. Okay. Next, who had Acts 10, 1 to 8, that passage? Yeah, okay, yeah. Who was the person of peace?
I'm taking it to
Egypt. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Cornelius.
Cornelius, yeah. What does the person of peace do?
Man förstår att han har redan, han ber ju, står det.
He prays.
Och han ger allmosor, och han lyssnar.
He gives money. He listens.
Okay, so the person of peace is already somebody who is trying to listen to God. He's spending time to do that. And when he receives instructions, he's doing something. So if you are a person of peace, if you are the person gathering, are you doing this? Will you begin to do this? Now, if you're a pioneer, there's people out there already that are hearing the voice of God who might not even know who it is. They might be Muslims. They might be New Age seekers. There might be people in their houses right now who are already hearing a message, but they don't know the interpretation. And he actually sends out the... He actually hears so specifically who the pioneer should be to be sent to him, for them, to give the message to them. Who is the pioneer? Peter. And what does Peter do?
After a while he goes.
After a while he had to be convinced. He had to have a vision with strange animals coming out of the sky for him to do something. And maybe that's a bit like us in Europe. You know, do we need some strange animals to come from the sky before we obey what Jesus clearly told us to do already? So, three times. But the good thing about Peter was that, again, he was in prayer. He's in a place listening to God as a pioneer. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And then the message came in a vision. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, the people who have come to your door, go with them. I wonder what kind of mindsets need to be shifted in us. I wonder which people we think are not ready. I wonder what kind of people we think these are the kind of people who are Christians, or these are the kind of people we're to go to. I wonder how many Corneliuses there are out there who are having angels come to them, but the angels are not giving the message, they're just there, and actually there needs to be a messenger sent. How will they know unless somebody has sent that kind of thing from Romans? What was the result? Yeah, people received the message that the pioneer gave, so there has to be a message. The Holy Spirit fell, so there was a demonstration of the Spirit's power, and they were all baptized. Did you say that? The whole household, oikos, social circle of Cornelius. It wasn't just Cornelius as an individual. It was Cornelius and his whole household, his whole oikos. You know, at the top of this it says, discover person of peace. But really, if you had more space, it would say, discover person of peace and oikos. We're not looking for individuals. We're looking for households. So, also, the person of peace... He gathered all of his friends and family to hear the message of the pioneers. So this is what we're looking for people of peace. They gather all of their friends and family together. So if you're a person of peace, that's what you would be doing. Gathering the people who you know in your homework or leisure. Or if you're a pioneer, you're looking for somebody who will do that. So we're looking for a result of not just... there's another thing in England right now where person of peace is just like a general phrase, which is kind of like... We're just looking for somebody who's a general connector. That's a person of peace. No, it isn't. You know, if you look at the scripture stories, we'll see. It's not just a general connector. Or it's a person of peace because they're open to the gospel. No. You know, why would Jesus use the phrase person of peace and household? Why doesn't he, you know, Jesus preached to the crowds, didn't he? And lots of the crowds were open. That doesn't mean all of the crowds were people of peace. We're looking for people who are going to let us into their social circle to bring the message that it's best to their whole oikos social circle. This is the person of peace we're looking for. You can't divorce person of peace from oikos. You know, this is a big mistake we made in the UK in the early days. I was seeing oikos, but the people I was training who were Christians were just seeing individuals. So they would say, we've gone out and we found a person of peace. And they would meet with that person of peace for a year. No, this is not the idea of person of peace. The idea is that the person of peace will lead you to their oikos. That's the whole, it's like wrapped up in the same thing. Person of peace is somebody who is the oikos person. So in other words, we're looking for people who let us into their groups. Let's move on to the next one. This is a key idea, actually. Because if we don't grasp this idea, we'll be frustrated. Our time will be spent going and counselling individuals for years. Again, before we reprogram something, we've got to deprogram something. And this is some of the issues is, so we hear these phrases like persons of peace and we add it onto our understanding. Oh, that means friendship. We'll just be friends with people. Oh, that means we find an individual and counsel and meet with them week on week. No. We've got to completely reprogram the idea. It's the core idea is oikos. And the person is letting us into that circle. So when it says go and search for people, we're looking for household leaders, circle leaders. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Yeah. Lydia in Acts 16 was the person of peace. What did she do?
She feared God.
She was already seeking and listening. So that's something for us to grasp as Christians. There's already people out there seeking and listening to God, even though they might not know it's Jesus. Yeah.
There were many people around her, and she was quite aggressive against the pioneers.
She was quite aggressive. Yeah. What do you mean? She was begging them to come and stay with her. Yeah. So the person of peace is actually saying to the pioneers, if I'm a worthy person, a person of peace, come and stay at my household. That's good. Sometimes pioneers need to be convinced to leave their comforts and to go where they're not comfortable. It's quite interesting. She was a lady. These were free men. I wouldn't necessarily advocate that. Well, there was three of them, so it's better than one of them, maybe. It wasn't just her, it's her and her household. Who were the pioneers? Well, pioneer? Paul and Silas. And they might have had a few apprentices with them as well. What did they do, the pioneers do?
Search for the seekers, for the God-fearers.
Yeah, they were intentional. They'd already had a vision from God to go to that area, so they knew where they were going in general. Like go to Sweden. They also would arrive in a place and they were looking, what is the access point? What is the way into this group? And they figured that there's no, we'll go to where some people are praying by a river. And that's where we'll find people. So the question is, if we're more on the pioneering track, where are the people groups that we're trying to connect with? Where would we go to connect with those people? So as a pioneer, that's how we're thinking. As a person of peace, we're thinking about hospitality. We're thinking about bringing people into our circle and gathering people in. What does the pioneer do other than that vision? They taught, they brought the message of the kingdom, the gospel. It talks about they received the message. Yeah.
And
in
the end, they encouraged and comforted.
Yeah.
The ones who were
yeah. One thing is that once they went to the household and the whole household come to believe, they continued to go there. And then they comforted and strengthened those people. Yeah. What was the result?
The whole household of Lydia became faith and became baptized.
Yeah. So again, this is the result we're looking for with people of peace. The whole household becomes baptized. And they basically become church in that place. It says the church met, or the believers met, or the brothers met in a house, a circle. So this is what we're hoping for when we're looking for people of peace. This is the formation of church, actually. So it's not just a general connector. Let's move on to the next story. Matthew 9:9-13. Who has that one? Who was the person of peace?
Matthew, or Levi,
the person who actually wrote the book. What does the person of peace do? Yeah, and Matthew invites his notorious sinner friends and his work colleagues to come together. And what does who is the pioneer? Jesus. And what does the pioneer do?
He stands up for person of peace.
Yes.
Because they come and say, you cannot go to church this way.
Yeah, the religious mafia arrive. Which is an occupational hazard for pioneers. The religious mafia come and start to ask the questions, who are these people of peace? Who are you hanging around with, to the pioneers? Why are you doing this kind of work? And the pioneer stands up for those people, and also the pioneer reveals what the purpose of his work is. He didn't come for those who are already well, and those who think that they are okay. He came for those who recognize they are sick. There's a sick that need a doctor. So that gives us an insight from Jesus why he came. What was the result? Well, actually, it doesn't really... Well, the result in that one is that Jesus was persecuted and gave his result. But we know ultimately that Matthew, who was a person of peace, was trained as one of the 12. To also find other people like him and to do what Jesus did. When Jesus found Matthew, Jesus modelled to Matthew what it means to find him and then told them how to go and find others in Matthew 10. And then he wrote the book about it. So, yeah, it's a big result. Yeah, that's good. Isn't it? That's a really important thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. So when we find people of peace, we don't just want to invite them to our place, whether it's our simple church or our organisation or our church. The idea of the person of peace is that the kingdom comes in their place. The kingdom of heaven is here, not the kingdom of heaven is over here. So this is a key idea, yeah. Exactly. So what this shows us is that sometimes the people of peace will invite us into their house or circle. Sometimes the pioneers might need to be the initiators. I'll come to your house, your group. This is a key point. We're going to cover this in a minute, but it's good you've raised it now. Let's look at Mark 1. We're going to spend a bit of time over this because there's some real big shifts that need to take place in order to see this happen in the way that maybe we're operating now. Mark 1:29-34. Who had that?
Yep.
Who was the person of peace?
Well, it was the household of Simon and Andrew.
Yep, so there was a whole household of peace already. What did the household do?
They received Jesus into their house.
Yep.
And the mother-in-law of Simon, she receives healing. And then she starts to serve them.
Yes. So Jesus is getting what he says the Matthew 10 and Luke 10 guys will get. They will be invited into people's homes, and the people will feed you. Remember that when Jesus trains the 12 and 72, he's training them in things that he himself already did. So it's not just a kind of theoretical thing. He went around finding people of peace. One of them was Peter and those guys. And then he trained them to do the same that he had done. Who is the pioneer?
Jesus.
And what does the pioneer do? Yeah, so he stays in that house and all the people come there. That becomes the beachhead for the kingdom to spread in the village. And the result is the whole town, everybody who was sick in the town and demon-possessed came to that door. If we would have had more time to go on into the passage, you'd see that, so Jesus' main response then was, once the whole household has come to Christ and the whole town, he said, I must go to other towns now to preach also. That was his kind of, he got up in the morning, prayed, and that's what God told him, the Father, so that's what he did. I wonder what we do when our house churches become full. Yeah, or our simple communities or whatever become full. Sometimes it's time to leave so that other people can become the workers. So him leaving means that Peter and the people in the household are now responsible for the continual spread in that area. Let's go to the next one. Luke, is it? 19? Yep. Who was the person of peace? Who?
Zacchaeus.
Oh, I like this one. What does Zacchaeus do? Yes, he opens his household. He also is urgent to find the truth or to find the change. So he climbs a tree. So there's some people who are desperate. And, you know, they're trying to find workers. Where are the workers? And they're not moving into church buildings. They're going into the streets and seeing new A shops and walking into them. Or they're going into the streets and finding Buddhist temples and walking into them. Because they're not thinking to themselves, the work, my spiritual encounter with God is going to be found in these church buildings. Some might be, but there's more that aren't. Zacchaeus is climbing trees looking for Jesus, the message of Jesus and the change in his life. Who's the pioneer? Jesus. What does Jesus do? Yes, this is a key thing. I'm glad you spotted it. Oh, but we're not finding people of peace. Well, look for them. Oh, but we're looking for them and not inviting us into their group. Invite yourselves then. Here's something that we started doing. We started to ask four questions when we meet people. We asked them, would you like to know more? Who else might be interested? Where can we meet you? It's just very simple. And the fourth question is the time and date, practicalities. When we first started, we didn't do that because we didn't know. We just thought it was going to be like the person of peace will fall on their face and tell us, come into our group and tell us everything about how we form community in our house. And because that wasn't happening all over Europe, it's like, oh, it doesn't work in Europe because we go to India and they do it automatically. No, it's a different culture, so we need to maybe be, the pioneers need to be more pioneering. When we meet people, say for example you've had a conversation with somebody, a spiritual conversation, and they're open. Or you've, another thing that we talk about, turning a problem into a prayer. Say you've met somebody and they've got a problem, and you turn the problem into a prayer, and they're open. We ask the question, would you like to know more? It's an open-ended question. Maybe they don't. If they say yes, we say, where can we meet you? So it's on their terms and their turf. We want them to be comfortable where they're going to meet. We're not going to say to them, meet X, Y, and Z. We're going to say, where would you like to meet? We'll meet you wherever you want. Pub, cafe, your house, where do you suggest? But still, we might end up just with a mentality that they just think you are going to meet with them on their own forever. So, yeah, I want to meet and in this place. The third question is the killer question, the person of peace question. Who else do you know that might be interested? We ask that straight away, every time. Who else do you know that might be interested? If you don't ask that question, you'll just end up with individuals. So, and then what time and date shall we meet up? So it's like an automatic response whenever we meet people. And these might be people you know, and they might be strangers. It doesn't have to be strangers. It could be people who you meet in your workplace, in your home, your neighbourhood. If you're leading established churches and you're running programmes, for example, you might be doing healing on the streets. So whenever you see somebody get healed or pray for somebody, would you like to know more? Where can we meet you? Who else might be interested? Or you're doing a youth club. Would you like to know more? Who else is interested? Where can we meet you? Or you're doing a mother and toddlers group and you get talking about spiritual things. Would you like to know more? Where can we meet you? You're doing a CAP project. We were obviously getting to some key killer things now. It's like, shut down the power. Shut down everything quickly. Quick! They're hearing some things. Four questions that we've now started to ask anybody we meet who we've had some spiritual conversation with or kindness or power thing. Would you like to know more? Obviously, you need to phrase these questions in your cultural dialect or Swedish, or I don't know how. It's the principle. It's getting across the same thing. Would you like to know more? Second question. Where can we meet you? So it's on their territory, their terms, their turf. Because we want to go to their place. The third question is, who else do you know that might also be interested? You're interested. Maybe you know others that are interested. Friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues. And the fourth question is just simple practicalities. What time and date? Not... take my number and see. Arrange it there and then. Yeah.
If they don't have anyone or don't want to bring in anyone else, do you don't meet them or do you wait until they have someone?
If they don't have anybody else, they may be showing that they're potentially not a person of peace or they just don't know what you're going to do. If they're not a person of peace, we would quickly put those people into an existing oikos. So, for example, I meet you as an individual that's open to Jesus, but you're not a person of peace. You're an individual. I might act as a person of peace and actually gather those separate people into my circle. But I'm still communicating the idea that it's all about oikos, not about one-on-one individualism. I'm not the answer to these people meeting one-on-one all the time with these people. They need to understand that Christ is formed in community. So, if we've got individuals, then that would be my responsibility then to say, okay, I'm going to either bring them together or point them to an existing group. Yeah. In fact, I think we should up the level of the game now. I started saying this. I think we should actually play this game, which is when we meet people, we say, actually, would you like to know more? Yes. This game only works when we do it in groups. So we actually just say it from the let's even be more intentional about this. This game only works when we do it in groups. This exploration works when we do it in groups. So who do you know that we can come and have some fun, eat together and share these stories? So you're setting up the premise from the very beginning. It's all about groups, oikoses, communities, families. Else we're going to just go down this one-on-one thing that will not lead to movement. Okay, the next part. What if they are a person of peace that is a person of peace, but they still, the first time you meet them, are on their own because they don't know what you're going to do? So, yes, you meet them. But when you meet them, we'll talk about what we do when we meet them in a minute. But one of the key phrases is, who are you going to share with? So you do that every time. So then the question would be, how long do you meet with those people as individuals who every week say they're going to share and never do it before you stop meeting with them? We'll come to that later.
And we have experience, of course, that's what I feel that should happen, that these people, if you meet him, he will start doing this with his household, but he's not comfortable with me being there. Can you see it? Has that happened that they are starting to... doing it, so it's more like I'm mentoring them from outside of their household.
Yeah, it can happen in two main ways. One is that I meet with that person, and what I share with them, or what we do together, they then share with their group, and I don't go to the group. I just meet with that person. Now, that's okay to meet with the individual for a season of time if they're doing that, because it's still oikos-based. You know that there's a fruit, because you're asking them to report back, how did you get on in your group? We'll cover that more in a minute. So that's one way. Another way is that you meet with them and their group for a season, and you model things with them, you assist them, you watch them, and then you leave. We're going to go more into detail in this as we go along. But the key is that you're seeing the individual as a person in a group, whether you're there or not. And you're making disciples of that person, that they can also make disciples of others. Other people in society do this. I don't know why we don't. Do you have Zumba? Do you have Tupperware sales? Do you have, this is a bit naughty, but women who have underwear parties? Something like this. All of these people know that they are going to throw a party and gather their friends to view the product or the idea. It's not like one-on-one things all the time. So you set up that expectation from the beginning. To throw this underwear party, it really works if you gather your friends and we have a party and share the thing. Yeah, multi-level marketing. Where do you think they got it from? Anyway, go out in twos. Another person, Muhammad Yunus, who started the microcredit in India, Bangladesh, sorry. So again, they use Luke 10 principles, although it's not called that. They went into twos in villages to find people who needed to be lent money, who the banks wouldn't lend money to. And they found a lady and said, we will do this process if you gather four or five of your friends in this village. We'll lend you the money first, they will be there. And when you pay back your money, then we'll lend to the other people. So people in society are setting up the expectations that when they're bringing something good into a community, it's not just about individuals, it's about self-organising communities. We've got to grasp this message back from the Bible. It's not individualism. It's communities. If we set up the expectation, then that's what we'll get. It's a bit like the healing or any other training you have. You have a training and you set up the expectation. So you say, for example, you're doing healing on the streets. You talk what to say. You might say something like, we're in the area as a church and we're praying for people on the streets today. Would you like prayer? So you've taught how to say certain phrases that get a catalytic reaction. So the phrases are, would you like to know more? Where can we meet you? It's like just an automatic thing to say to people. And it's great and it works. So you say it to 10 people, two people might take you up on the offer. Scatter the seed broadly, say it to everybody, and some people will say, yes, I want to do that. But we're not going to lower our expectations. We're not going to lower it to, oh, we're just going to see if that person wants to meet up for a year and maybe they will do it or they won't, as if we really don't believe that we're going to find people who actually want it. You know, there are people who want this, so set the expectation up and you'll get the results. Next story. Luke 10, is it? 38 to 42? Who was the person of peace? Yeah, it could have been either or both. So they were sisters, it was a household of peace. They both were people of peace who did different aspects. One sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. Yeah, anyway, you might say more. What did the people of peace do?
They stayed and listened.
Yeah.
And their mother was caring for
everything. Yeah. She was offering hospitality to whoever was in the family itself, to whoever came from the surrounding area maybe, and to potentially at least 12 travelling workers. So the people of peace were expecting oikoses that are not just one or two people. We want to see how can this extend to as many of their people as they can. Now, some people's oikoses will be smaller, that's fine. Sometimes you might have a single mother with three other mothers that meet in a coffee shop, that's good, if that's the extent of the oikos. But you want to make sure that you're including all of the oikos as much as possible by asking certain questions. One question you can ask is, let's write down all the people that you know and pray through them and find a way of gathering them. So you've been really intentional about looking at how far does this network go? How far does this trail go? Who was the pioneer? What did he do? Yeah, he was sharing some things. If we look at his other practices, what he normally did was listen, ask questions, and share provocative stories.
Say that again so everybody hears that. Say it again loud.
We don't know what Jesus said in this passage, but if we look at other passages where he entered people's houses, he listened and observed things, asked questions, and told provocative stories, usually about the kingdom. Wouldn't it be great if we did that? What would happen? What was the result? The message was received. We don't know what happened in that passage, but we know, it's very noisy. Am I moving something wrong? Yeah. Is it all right?
Sorry.
He brought focus. Once we get... are we bringing people in the households to a point of listening to Jesus and focusing on what he says? Whether it's in our discovery groups or house churches or simple churches or discipleship groups or life groups, whatever you want to call them. Are we hearing God and listening to what he says, Jesus says to us? It's a key point. The result, one of the results later was that it talks about Jesus going back there, Lazarus, their brother, died. And one of the, there seems to be a pattern where when Jesus finds a person of peace, he stays with them, but he also travels somewhere else and then comes back to the same people of peace. So he comes back there later, he raises Lazarus from the dead, and it says all of the surrounding region came to that house. People from all of the surrounding Judean countryside came to that place to see Jesus and see Lazarus who rose from the dead. So again, these people of peace households become a beacon or a base, mission base, to spread out to the surrounding region. This is what we're hoping for. And this is what I'm hoping simple churches are. By the way, I hope it's not us four no more in the house looking inwards, drinking wine. I hope it is about the mission of God and multiplication movements in the region. When you drink wine, it's kind of like, yeah, when you eat, Jesus' presence in the kingdom is going to expand rapidly. Let's move on to the last story. Acts 18. No, sorry, we've got two more. Who had Acts 18? Who was the person of peace? Aquila and Priscilla, this is a great one. It's a couple who were people of peace together. And what did they do?
They made it possible for Paul to stay, so they opened up the door and he worked for them.
Yeah, this is a great one. Some people of peace will be business co-workers with the pioneers. We're beginning to see this happen, but it's too much to go into now. They partnered in the mission and in the business, and they lived together for a season. Who was the pioneer?
Paul.
And what did he do?
He reasoned, it says, or talked to people in the synagogue.
Yep, he reasoned with people in the synagogue, the people who were already religious or had some background. And what was the result?
They were convinced.
Yeah, some people were convinced, and they were forced then out of that place and into the oikoses. They were forced out of the synagogue and into the oikoses. Later on, we know that Aquila and Priscilla, they were kind of interested because they were kind of pioneering people of peace. So they would go to a place as pioneers and then become people of peace that would open up their house and then they'd go somewhere else and do the same. So these are kind of a pioneering people of peace kind of guys. So they lived with each other, the pioneer and the people of peace. They worked together, they did church together, and they did mission together. Romans 16, 1-5. Who was the person of peace? Yeah.
Sister Phoebe, of course, as mentioned, Priscilla, and also
Yeah. There's potentially 10 to 15 households there, potentially listed. It seems to be that the church in Rome was made up of a network of oikoses. So there was lots of oikoses, and Paul talks to the church in Rome. And the church of Rome was made up of a network of these different households. Who was the pioneer? Also, you had a bit of a different kind of passage, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what did you learn from that passage? Anything? What were some of the key things that you discussed then?
This transition that you said, the first just kind of pull out, they are persons of peace, but then they go with them.
Yeah.
Facilitate, and they serve the church everywhere.
Yeah. In Ephesus, in Rome, in Corinth. They're everywhere. They pop up everywhere. Yeah. Great. So one thing to look at, if we're already in simple organic communities, how are we facilitating networks? Because these were interconnected networks. They knew each other. Some of them knew each other. Give my greetings to this group, etc. We'll go more into that tomorrow if we've got time. But it's just a thing to raise now, to think through. And also, would it be possible? Say, for example, there was six discipling communities in one place. Wouldn't it be possible for an outside worker to be able to address them all? Say, these are some principles for every group. Because these are the kind of things that we see in Scripture. Okay, let's pause there for a second. Okay, so I'm going to give a question, but in this question you can also have 5 minutes to stretch your legs, go to the toilet and stuff like that, but then come back. From these passages, do you see yourself more as a gatherer, a person of peace? Do you identify more with the person of peace attributes? Or do you identify more with what the pioneers do? Or both? And if it's both, in what situation? So in your current work that you are doing, are you acting more like a person of peace or pioneer? And in which one? Do you understand the question? So it's a self-reflection tool for you to discuss in your at your tables. Do you see yourself more as the gatherer? So you will be the person who opens up your group and invites people into it and gathers those people together to hear Jesus? Or do you see yourself more as somebody going to find others who will do that and then investing in those people? Currently, I don't just mean theoretically, I mean in the next couple of weeks. Now and what you're going to do next. Okay, so we'll come back to share those things in...